Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, please. Luke chapter 10. And I'm going to read today from verse 38 to 42. A very probably well-known story, but don't worry if you don't know it, because we're going to read it together. Okay? Shall we just pray together to ask God to speak to us? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us this great opportunity to be before you, to be in your presence, Lord, to hear from you. And Lord Jesus, just like you said, that the words that you have spoken are spirit and that they are life, we pray this afternoon, Father God, that the spirit and the life that is in your words would reach each one of us. That none of us, Lord, sitting here would just be recipients of words that are empty, but words that your words that are spirit and that are life. Lord, let those words come to each one of us. Let our hearts be receptive. Let our hearts be open to those words, Lord Jesus. Your words, Lord Jesus, that are spirit and are life. Father, we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And any distraction, Lord, any distraction that comes upon us, any distraction that we would allow to come, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we destroy it. Father God, we commit ourselves into your hands and pray that this afternoon would be an afternoon when your words, which are spirit and our life, reach us, Lord. Reach us where we need them. Reach us at our point of need. Reach us where we need revival. Reach us where we need resurrection. Reach us where we need restoration in our lives, Lord. May your words, which are spirit and our life, reach each one of us, Lord, each one of us at our point of need, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a slight problem when I pray sometimes and I say amen. I don't hear anybody, just a few people saying amen. And that bothers me. You know why it bothers me? It's not because I need applause, by the way. It's because it bothers me because I'm thinking, okay, people are not agreeing with the prayer. Because amen is just, you know, agreeing with the prayer. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary, and he told her that she's going to have a son and that she's going to, be pregnant. She first asked, how can that be? And then he explained to her that the power of the Holy One will overshadow you. And then she said to him, may it be to your servant, she said, as you have said, as the word of God. And when you say amen, that's the greatest amen, by the way, in history. But when you say that, you're just agreeing with that. So I want to encourage you guys, don't let the devil rob you of the fact that you want to agree with God's purpose and God's plan and God's, will in your life. So I want to encourage you to just say amen for your sake and for the enemy's sake, guys. Saying, I agree with God's purpose in my life. So let's read from Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 41. And I'll read. While they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken from her. And this short incident that happened in the house of Martha and Mary, we see Jesus from his travels, he enters the house and he sits there in the house. And the woman named Martha, who welcomed him into her home, She had a sister who was called Mary. She was distracted by her many tasks, the Bible says. She was distracted by her many tasks. She was actually engaged. She was active. She was busy. And because she was active and busy and she was doing something, she thought she was doing the right thing. She thought he was doing the right thing because she was engaged. She was active. She was running around. And without putting across the wrong message, just because we are active, just because we are, you know, revising, studying, working, connecting with other people, just because we are active and engaged, and even serving in God's house, it may not mean that we're doing the right thing. One of the things that Nati said earlier on today is that we may be in the right position sometimes, but not doing the right thing. And Martha is here, who she's probably, we don't know exactly what she's doing, but she was busy and distracted, the Bible says, with many tasks. But here was what she thought. Because she was doing something, and I think maybe possibly she was preparing some food, she was putting a meal together. Imagine there's going to be not only Jesus travels with his disciples, so there's about, you know, 13, 14 people in her home who have come in, and she's worried, and she's kind of trying to put a meal in front of them, and she's busy. But the Bible says that she was distracted by her many tasks. Those many tasks distracted her. We're going to find what from. What did they distract her from? We're going to find out. But the first thing that happens is that she comes to Jesus because she's exasperated. She is really angry. She's furious. And she has here in front of her own sister, who she had wanted to help her, who she expected to come and, you know, to come to her aid and help her in the task that she was doing, whatever the tasks were. Let's assume, as I said, she was trying to prepare a meal. She's trying to put together a meal. She's trying to put it in front of them. She's trying to be a good host. And she's busy with her tasks. And she sees her younger sister, Mary, just sitting there listening to what Jesus had to say. So what she does is that she comes to Jesus, as you can see here. She comes to Jesus and she actually, what's the word to use? She accuses Mary to Jesus. And she says in verse 40, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand." So she's asking Jesus, you know, speak to her, say something to her, tell her off, is what she's selling to Jesus. Tell her off, because she should be helping me in my tasks. She should be active together with me. She should be doing the things that I'm doing. She should be, again, without me sending the wrong message. You know, she should be, you know, on her books like I am. She should be working hard and preparing for exams like I am. She should be connecting with people, having a social life like I am. She should be playing whatever game, you know, out there. Football, competitions. Now, all these things have their places in life. And that's why I said, at the risk of sending the wrong message, I'm listing them here, because just because we're doing these things, it doesn't mean that we're doing the right things. If they end up distracting us like they distracted Martha, there's a big question mark that we need to address. And Jesus' answer tells her this. He says in verse 41, "The Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary,'" he says. One thing is necessary. He said, there's many things you're upset with, many things you're worried about, many things you're worried sick about. You're worried sick about your education. You're worried sick about those A grades that you want to attain. You're worried sick about, you know, your ability to, you know, to make sure that you're improving. You know, you're going to the gym, you're building those pectorals, you know, your six packs, everything that you want. You're worried sick about them. He's saying that to them, to her. He says, you are worried and upset about many things. Many things are worrying you and upsetting you, he said. Many things are actually getting your attention. Many things are distracting you. Many things are taking up your time, your effort, your energy, your will. But he says, one thing is necessary, he said to her. One thing is elevated above the rest, guys. One thing, Jesus said, that's higher than all the rest of the things that you're engaged in. One thing. One thing. And that's one thing I want you to get this afternoon. One thing. Jesus says, one thing is necessary. And he says, he doesn't even actually have to spell it out. He says, Mary has made the right choice. Mary has got that one thing right in its place. And what do you think Mary's choice was? Mary made a choice to be with Jesus. Mary made a choice to listen to Jesus. And that's the one thing that we need to elevate higher and at the top of everything else in our lives. All other things, if we don't do this one thing, are distractions. Again, at the risk of being misunderstood, and I hope you will not misunderstand me, all the other things in life that we are engaged in, all the things that we spend so much energy, so much time, so much effort in, they will end up being distractions from this one thing that Jesus has identified has the greatest value. They will end up being distractions. And I'm not, and you will know, and you will understand that I'm not against studies. I'm not against, you know, our revision. I'm not against social life. I'm not against the gym. I'm not against, you know, different sports that we engage in. But if, like Martha, they dictate our lives, they take over everything, then Jesus has clearly said here, you're distracted by many tasks. Many tasks. You're worried and upset, he said, about many things, but one thing is necessary. And Mary has made the right choice. And I want you to think, guys, think. It's so important that you actually connect with God. It's so important that you have a time like Mary, who made the choice over and top, over and above other things that she could easily have done, like her sister did. You need to be making the right choices. I am of the opinion, I believe, I want, I desire everybody who is called to the body of Christ, everybody who is following Christ, to excel wherever God puts you. If you're in business, excelling in your business. If you're in medicine, excelling in medicine. If you're in finance, excelling where you are. But that excellence will only come when we put the first thing first. Jesus was not saying that, you know, the other things are unnecessary. He said, you're worried and upset about many things, but there's one thing that you should be worried and upset about first and foremost. It's your connection with me. It's your life with me. It's your one-to-one, one-on-one with God. That's the first thing that you should be upset and worried about. That's the one that in Christ's eyes, in view, in his view, what has the greatest value is the time we spend in him, with him. He's not saying that those other things are important. More important than my standing here and sharing is my fellowshipping with Christ. More important than me serving in the church and wherever you, God has placed you, is actually your communing with him. Your being in connection and in fellowship with him. Martha missed that point. She missed, or in modern language, she lost the plot. We don't want to be the ones who are losing the plot. Whatever God is doing, whatever is happening in your life, however active you are, however you feel that there are many things happening in your life and you need to be engaged in them, be engaged in them. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's one thing that is necessary, elevated higher and above all the rest. And that's the connection with Christ, your personal devotion, your personal connection, not your connections on Sunday here, your personal walk with Christ. And that's what Jesus is saying to her here. So I'm going to conclude. I know this week was the week when I should have started teaching about gifts, but I'm going to just quickly conclude this one just to encourage you guys to do something, to be worried, to be upset about your walk with God. Not in the negative sense that you're going to beat yourself up, but in the sense that, you know, Christ valued her companionship better, more than the service that he was receiving for Martha. He valued it. That's of greater value to God, is your relationship with him than what you can do for him. You can't do much for God. It's from that point of being in a constant communion and connection with God that we can serve him. It's from that position that we can do more than we can imagine. So I want to just leave that with you and just remember that God is looking to spend time with you. You need to make time for that to happen. You don't allow, like Martha, the many tasks that she had to distract her. These will end up being distractions. And many of you will come to me and say, you know, what about my studies and everything? Go ahead with your studies. Be the best that you can ever be in any field that you are called to, you know. But make sure that you make the right choice. Make sure that this, which Christ said, is one thing is necessary, he said. One thing is necessary. And that one thing was what Mary chose. Make the right choice to be with him, to make your personal connection and devotion to him primary in your life. Make that choice.